can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die."
Don McLean, American Pie, probably the greatest, maybe only folk rock anthem, chronicling the 1960s. Do you know who everybody is in this song, Jason? Do you know who the jester is? You don't know? Bob Dylan. The king, of course, is Elvis Presley. While the king was looking down, the jester stole his throne and crown. Jason just saw a story on Yahoo. Brett Favre with his grizzly Adam beard. Brett Favre is 8 years younger than I am. Am I being unfair in saying he looks about 10 years older right now? I think he looks 10 years older than I do. The haircut's unflattering. The beard, boy, he looks in great shape physically. I mean, he still looks like he could suit up if you go from the neck down. Boy, that makes him look old. But otherwise, he looks in great shape. Really does. All right, let's talk Ukraine. It's a fair question. When conservatives criticize President Obama for his inaction concerning Ukraine, well, what should he have done? And what can, well, that's not what's being asked. What should he do? What should he do? No, you're not going to militarily engage Russia. So what is to be done now? Here's what I would settle for. Taking leadership. It took so long for the President of the United States to realize that the United States should be the leader in this issue. And as the Wall Street Journal reported the other day, even administration officials concede they did, in fact, want to lead from behind on this. They wanted Western Europe to take point. Western Europe, since the end of World War II, has turned to the United States to take point on these issues. An opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal today. All right, what can he do now? In recent days, Americans have gotten a crash course on how Crimea came to be part of Ukraine in 1954. So what? Most boundaries have questionable histories. The state system requires us to take boundaries, however arbitrary they may be, as the point of departure and to alter them through processes that command international legitimacy. In other words, no matter how boundaries got to where they are, they have to be respected, and they can't just be trampled upon. This principle doesn't rule out secession, but it does mean that secessionist movements must be indigenous and popularly based, and that the grievances must cross a threshold of gravity sufficient to justify what is likely to be a drive for separation marked by conflict. In other words, his excuses for doing this aren't good enough. Finally, Mr. Obama must remind the Russian president in the firmest terms of an agreement that Russia signed back in 1994 in exchange for Ukraine's decision to give up the nuclear weapons it inherited during the dissolution of the Soviet Union. Russia affirmed that it would respect Ukraine's independence and sovereignty and the existing borders, recognize that border changes can be made only by peaceful and consensual means, and refrain from the threat of use of force against Ukraine's territorial integrity or political independence. in exchange for giving up the nuclear weapons that were there, because that's where the Soviet Union put them, Russia agreed never to do what Vladimir Putin did. Along with Russia's President Boris Yeltsin and Ukrainian President Leonid Kravchuk, President Clinton signed that statement on behalf of the U.S. in the Budapest Memorandum of Securities Assurances later in 1994. Russia joined the U.S. and U.K. in promising to refrain from economic coercion designed to subordinate to their own interests the exercise by Ukraine of the rights inherent of its sovereignty. The credibility and honor of the United States are at stake. He does need to remind Putin of that. Yeah, I mean, I suppose that there are things that you can do to try to starve out Russia. I don't know how successful that's going to be. But I don't think it's what you can do now. I think it's learn what you didn't do. And that's take seriously that Putin is in Cold War mode and President Obama refuses to go into Cold War mode, and that he lied, that Putin lied. Yesterday, the president took to task, and listen to how muted, how stumbling he sounds in this, those who would suggest that he was outsmarted by Vladimir Putin. Listen to this.
I would also note just, the way that some of this has been reported, that the suggestion somehow that the Russian actions have been clever strategically. I actually think that this has not been a sign of strength, but rather is a reflection that countries near Russia have deep concerns and suspicions about this kind of meddling. And if anything, it will push many countries further away from Russia.
Right. Because you think Vladimir Putin cares about that? He doesn't give a rat's butt about his popularity on the world stage. He doesn't care if other countries don't like him. As is written at hotair.com, there's nothing more hope and changey than watching this guy try to frame Western impotence in the face of Russian aggression as some sort of image problem that can be corrected by his pals in the media, especially knowing that his red line humiliation last year in Syria surely emboldened Putin internationally. Let me stop there. Did I not predict that? Did I not say that he was ceding foreign policy to Russia, and that it was going to embolden and empower Putin? That's exactly what happened. Plus, I don't quite follow his read on what Russian satellites are apt to do now that Moscow's brought a boot down on Ukraine. If you're a Russian border state that's intrigued by closer ties to the EU, what does Moscow have to offer you except the threat of invasion? Or at a minimum, turning off the gas oil tap if you get too frisky with the West. Clamping down on Crimea is a quintessential move by Putin and surely his best bet to keep those satellites in Russia's orbit. No, this was tactically brilliant for what he wanted to accomplish. And apparently, President Obama doesn't understand what he was trying to accomplish. Also yesterday, Putin tried to claim that Nazis and neo-Nazis are responsible for the uprising in Ukraine. This led to an amazing exchange on CNN between Wolf Blitzer and Christiane Amanpour. Wolf Blitzer simply reports that's what Putin is saying. He starts to report that, and listen to this exchange.
Churkin, the Russian ambassador to the UN Security Council, saying earlier today that at fault for all of this are what he called fascists and anti-Semites in Ukraine right now. To be
you
continued.
Know, you've got to be really careful putting that across as a fact.
That's what Vitaly Churkin.
He may have done.
That's what
he
said.
That is the Russian position. He may have done.
That's what I was
pointing
out.
Are you telling me? Are you saying that the entire pro-European Ukrainians are anti-Semites?
I was only saying,
but that is what the Russians are saying.
I'm only saying what Vitaly Churkin.
That's what the Russians are saying.
He said,
and that's what Professor Cohen is saying.
Professor Cohen say it, and I was just pointing out that a Russian official at the United Nations today said, who's responsible for all of this? Fascists and anti-Semites in Ukraine. Am I saying that? No, I'm not. But I am saying that that's what Vitali Churkin said.
Right, and we have to be very careful.
We'll play it for you. We played it for you earlier.
No, I heard it.
Yeah.
I heard it. We just, as a network, have to be really careful not to lump the entire pro-European Ukrainians into what some may well be, which are nationalistic and extremist. So that's what I'm saying.
Hey, guys, I'm an outsider. I hate to see a civil war break out on CNN.
It's not a civil war.
That's exactly what it was. Now, first let me say this. I agree with Amanpour. I don't think Wolf Blitzer was factually reporting that. This is crapola the Russians are trying to put out there. And I think Blitzer was saying, look, here's what they're saying. I don't think he reported it factually. She's very thin-skinned about this. Now, she's right. They should be careful because it's complete propaganda. Wouldn't it be nice if liberals in the media like her often worried about that? Wouldn't it be nice if when they're unfairly branding the Tea Party or conservatives or anyone else, that she had that level of concern? She's right. I mean, but I don't think he was. I think she's hypersensitive to this. I think Blitzer was just reporting what the Russians are saying, which, of course, is a lie. But she was so protective, and she should be. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying I wish they would be consistent. Let's see her worry about the next time a conservative is painted with a broad brush in this country, or conservatives, or the Tea Party movement. Let's see that happen. You won't. All right, lots to get to. Now are Republicans getting too thin-skinned when it comes to the war on women, post-Bill Cramer? That in 5 minutes is 1018.
The Jerry Bader Show.